Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hello, my name is Mike, and today's show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. It's quite simply the best way to support this show. If you need it, Amazon has it, and you can get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Bookmark it, please.
Yo-ho!
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oscar, my dear friend.
Yes.
Do you love the internet?
I love the internet.
Well, it's full of things called websites. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but you don't need to be for the concept here.
Okay.
It's a destination, and there's one called uprocks.com.
Ooh.
And what they have done
is... Not safe for work?
What's that?
Not safe for work?
Safe for this work.
Okay.
So just relax, daddy-o. They have collected some of the stupidest tweets of a certain celebrity. Now, this is the thing. The celebrities love the Twitter, and they get on, and they offer their opinion, and then it's out there for everyone to see. Ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump. The Donald.
Hello, Rob.
How you doing, Donnie?
Hello. Hello, Oscar.
Hi, Donald. How are you?
Rob and Oscar, how are you?
You asked if you could come on the show and share. Do you like Twitter? Is that your favorite social platform?
I like to tweet. I think tweeting, you know, is great. It's successful. It's very big. I think it's going to do very well. I think you're going to do okay. And I think tweeting and Twitter, the people that did this are very smart. They're very successful. They've done a good thing. And I think it's very modern technology.
Ah. How does it compare to, say, Pinterest?
How about that word?
How does it compare to Pinterest?
I don't know Pinterest, but I'm sure if they become successful and big and powerful, I'll be aware of that.
All right, what about Facebook?
Facebook is good. It's not like Twitter, though. Mm-hmm. Facebook is powerful and successful, and he's done a great job, and I think he's got a good head on his shoulders.
Who?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, this guy, yeah.
I went to see his movie. I think he's got a good, solid knowledge of good things, and I think he's smart.
Now, before we
Very
move on,
smart.
I have a question.
Yes.
I know you do not yet have your own social media platform, but if we were to do something like Trump Book or Trumpster, would that be a good platform of social media?
I thought about it.
Media?
People have come to me and said, Donald, you've got all these people doing social media. If you did it, of course it would be the best because it would be the biggest. It would be large and successful.
Yes.
I just simply don't have the time. Running my real estate empire and building the world's finest golf courses, buildings, and resorts.
Oh, and
I
the
just
best
don't
water. You make the Trump water. I love
Trump water is so good. It's better water than you can. I have a study that on my desk for Trump water that said my Trump water is better than the water that comes from God.
Wow, but doesn't all water come from God?
Well, let's not get bogged down in the details, but if I run for president...
What is your
opinion
of God?
Pardon me?
What is your opinion of God?
He's very big, very successful. He's way up high. He looks down on people, and he can't because he's so extremely successful.
Mr. Trump?
I'm a fan. Yes, go
ahead.
Outside
of your religious beliefs, you have 140 characters to express yourself on Twitter. How do you find the time and the words to express yourself and get your point across
exactly.
in such a short amount of characters?
That's abbreviated.
Oscar, that's a great question, and I'm going to answer it for you right now. I'm a great communicator. I've been a communicator my whole life.
Are you sticking your lips out at us? What are you doing?
I'm trying to explain how I communicate.
What
you're doing duck lips.
I'll tell you, if you want to pick on my lip, you're not going to be successful. You'll just take a look at others and run them down. But you know how successful
the way you're holding it makes your mouth look big and successful.
I am very big. Let me adjust the camera. There you go.
Now you're even bigger.
I am successful. Thank you very much.
All right.
Much.
Yes. I'd like to ask you about specific tweets that you've sent, if that's okay.
Because we have
a collection of specific tweets here.
I have them here. You wanted me to read them. I collected my staff, collected some of my tweets.
How
and
is
I have
your staff?
Staff.
They're the best staff a person can get.
What makes them great?
Their success level, they're driven, they're motivated, they're really, really smart and good.
Do they ever drop the ball?
Pardon me?
Do they ever drop the ball?
Drop the ball. No, if they were to catch a ball, they would not drop it.
Well,
it wouldn't work for me. I'd fire them.
I was speaking
I'd say,
figuratively.
You're fired.
Oh, that's
you
your catchphrase.
You drop that ball. You drop that big successful ball.
Hey, you know what I have here, Donald, before we do the tweets? I don't know if
what
I've even
have?
Showed this to you yet. Hold on.
What do you? I hope he's going to show me something big.
Look at this big, successful action figure.
Do you know that action figure has set sales records on every continent in the world? It is the most successful and biggest selling action figure because it's made better than the other ones are made.
It's a Trump action figure.
It's a Trump action figure, and you can get yours, too.
Isn't that by category, though? It's pretty easy to get to the top. It's by category. I saw the report. It's pretty easy to get to the top of that list when you have the most successful selling action figure for a CEO. There aren't
that many. You can poo-poo anything you want, but I'm here to tell you that I've never put my name on anything that hasn't been an overwhelming success.
What do
you
think?
And that's why even something as trivial to you, Oscar, as an action figure, an action figure.
Do you think that you would outsell, say...
We're in first place.
What if Coleco put out like a Henry Ford action figure? How would that measure up?
It wouldn't be successful.
Why not?
Because no one would care. No one. I've got the most successful show on television. My name is on buildings all across America and Europe and the Middle East and the Far East. Yeah. I'm everywhere. People see Trump. They know the name. Their name smells of success.
Henry Ford has the assembly line.
Yeah, he invented it.
Yeah, imagine that.
Well, he's dead. He doesn't have it anymore, does he?
All right. Well, let's go to something. It doesn't have to be an action figure.
Yes, I did. I'm quick with the comeback.
What if we were to sell, say, a Thomas Edison hoodie?
Rob, Oscar, you're fired.
No.
That's
okay,
the joke
let's talk
I play
about
with
your
everybody.
Tweets, okay? Yes.
Okay, my tweets.
Yeah, now the Twitter, in the individual, the posts are called tweets, right, Donald?
Yes.
Okay. Tweets. Okay. Yes, thank you.
What about the tragic derailment of the train in Philadelphia?
I wrote this. I am the best builder. Just look at what I've built. Hillary can't build. Republican candidates can't build. They don't have a clue.
But what does that have to do with the train?
I don't know.
Okay, let's move on. Maybe we'll do better on the next one.
What about, Tom Brady, Deflategate?
They had no definitive proof against Tom Brady or hashtag Patriots. If Hillary doesn't have to produce emails, why should Tom?
Here, here.
Very unfair.
Hey, what is your opinion of Hillary Clinton?
She's not successful.
But is she big?
She's big. Big in the ankles.
All right. What about the riots in Baltimore? Just a couple weeks off of this.
Our great African-American president hasn't exactly had a positive impact on the thugs who are so happily and openly destroying Baltimore.
Have you ever been to Baltimore?
Yes.
Have you seen the Bromo Seltzer Tower?
I'd like to buy it and make it and put Trump on it.
It would say instead of Bromo Seltzer, it would just
Trump. If I put my name on that tower, you'd see people taking Bromo Seltzer for their upset stomachs. That's how successful it would be.
It makes perfect sense to me.
Thank you, Rob.
You seem to intimate that Ebola is the fault of Barack Obama.
Tweet. If this doctor who so recklessly flew into New York from West Africa has Ebola, then Obama should apologize to the American people and resign.
Okay. All right. Do you have sympathy for the people that flew to other countries to help people with Ebola? Oh, tweet, yes.
Tweet. The U.S. cannot allow Ebola-infected people back. People that go far away to help out are great and successful, but they must suffer the consequences. Mm. Don't let them back in. I made that part up.
I like how you're starting each Twitter, each tweet with the word tweet. It helps. Is that a hashtag?
Like a telegram.
Tweet. Sadly, because President Obama has done such a poor job as president, won't see another. A poor job.
How many characters in the word job?
Rob, you're fired.
Oh, again!
Since Obama has done a poor job as president, you won't see another black president for generations because he's so bad and weak.
Let me ask you about one more tweet, okay?
Sure.
What about the popular situation comedy on the American broadcast company, Black-ish?
How is ABC television allowed to have a show entitled Black-ish? Can you imagine the furor of a show Whitish? That is racism at its highest level, my friends.
How about if we had a show called Trumpish?
That's a great idea. Because it's got my name on it, you ass. Why don't you start the show?
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Applebee's, I'm a big fan of Applebee's, you know? I was really just whatever. If I eat somewhere that's not Applebee's, I will only eat what Applebee's would serve. Like, if Applebee's is not on board with it, I'm not going to be, you know? I eat at Walmart. You can eat there. It's fine. They're fine with it. And Walmart's great. They're always open. No one likes Walmart, but they're always open. That's why they're great. There was a fire at a Walmart, and they did not shut down. They remained open during the fire. Like, some people didn't even know there was a fire. Other people thought they were just selling fire. Like, that's not that crazy of a thing. I'm a Walmart guy. I think I'm in the middle, you know? I'm not Kmart. I'm not Target, you know? I'm not old money. I don't think I'm better than everybody. I'm just right in the middle. You ever go to Kmart? Like, Kmart doesn't even look open when you go in there. You just walk in, you're like, you guys about to close? Are you getting looted or something? They're like, no, we're open. Are you? Are you going to cut the lights on that side of the store? Kmart looks like where you go buy stuff if you're about to open a new Kmart. If you needed shelves for your Kmart, you'd go in there and be like, this is good. I think we're going to do it right here.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Coming to you live from the Cappy Fiber studio in the heart of our nation's capital, this is the Mike O'Mara Show. We are online, on the air worldwide. We are delighted to have you with us today. We're a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. And if you're here, ladies and gentlemen. You do too. Today's show brought to you by Harry's. Hey, Mr. Big Shot. Hey, you with that beard stubble on your big face. Hey, Mr. Big Shot, would you like to get rid of that stubble with something really good like Harry's?
Yes.
Yes.
Stop overpaying for a lousy big name razor. You can save while you shave.
Ah.
All you need is Harry's. Harry's put nearly a century of shaving experience into each blade. Those blades are so good. You know why?
Why?
They make them in Germany, country we invaded, but still good. Superior shave every time, half price of big name brands that try to steal from pockets. The average shaver spends $300 a year on blades, throwing money out in windows. Silly, stupid thing. Why not cut in half with Harry's? That's what they do. They care. Other razor companies no care. Harry's care. They care for you. Here's deal.
This is great.
You get $5 off first purchase with code TOMOS.
No, TMOS.
Oh, sorry. That's TMOS. That means starter set $10. How about that?
Yeah.
That's not money falling on ground out of pockets, huh? You get razor, three blade, a bottle of shaving cream, all sent straight to door with no middleman. Middleman's bad. That's why razor at drugstore rip you off, boyfriend. As always, satisfaction, 200% guarantee or money back. Go to harry.com right now. That's HARRYS.com. Enter code TMOS at checkout. $5 off, friend. Order starter set. That gets you $10, huh? That's some kind of deal, my boy. HARRYS.com, TMOS code. And change shaving forever. That's what you do, boy check.
Nice, boy check.
Nice.
Thank you very much. I have no idea why I do Russian accent.
Well,
it just,
done.
It means I'm okay. Very big show today.
Yes.
We will be talking to Tom Shales later in the show about David Letterman. And it's a subject that Rob and I love, and it's sad, and it's a history-making moment in television. So why not talk to the greatest TV critic in the history of TV critics? And that, of course, is Mr. Tom Shales,
who was
the man, and look forward to doing that. We are here. We are queer. We are not going skiing. And I'm very, very happy because I get a chance to promote what I want to do again, which is the world's largest dinner party.
Oh yeah. You alluded to this yesterday. Was it on air or off air?
Off air.
So what is your thought on this?
Well, I always have to refer back to the man that doesn't let me do anything, our general manager, Oscar Santana, who says, Mike, I told you that you can't do any appearances for 10 years. That's the rule. You can't do any for 10 years. So when you say about that, we're going to do New Orleans in 2023.
Yeah, well,
that's when we're going to do
it. They actually made a movie about Oscar. It's called Dr. No, because this is all he says. No.
Fall of 2016, correct?
Yes.
Did I get the time right?
Yeah.
So just 16 months away.
Yeah.
And you don't care, do you?
I'll be there.
He doesn't want to go anywhere.
That's 2.5 years away that I don't have to worry about doing anything.
No.
That's fantastic.
I'm just trying to put it in context.
You had joy.
Math gives me joy.
You said joy.
No, it's just I love doing the math. It's exciting.
That's 16 months. All right. Anything in between?
We'll be at Jimmy's on the 24th.
And that'll carry you through. Right through.
Right there.
And we'll probably do a Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So to explain our schedule to the listening people.
Well, Mike moved.
I'll let you talk about it because I always get it wrong.
Mike moved to Florida. Then he got lonely. And then he said, well, I kind of want to do things when I come back up. And he likes to do
it. I tell you, brother, if I'm lonely being daddy and father, then your other radio partner's got to be ready to be committed into an asylum lonely. That's for sure, because that man doesn't take a shit without doing it publicly.
Wow.
So, I mean, let's be honest with you. If I'm lonely.
I'm not. I think you misunderstood me. I'm saying...
Let me just interpret what I heard you say, that I'm lonely, that the only reason I want to do events for the show is because I want to see other people.
You want adult interaction. That's completely different.
That is not true.
Adult interaction.
I think we've separated our appearances over the years rather significantly.
The spacing has been excellent, yeah.
We've had some separation.
When there are thousands of miles between you.
That's true.
Right, yeah, so.
But you don't mean between us and Mike right now.
No. We're good to go.
Because you get interaction with us perhaps too much.
On a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the one thing I tell people about the show, and
The live shows lose money, bottom line. So if you do them every year, we continue to lose money. That's it. It's all comes.
I know. So I've told you that
you want to stop losing money.
We don't. I've said that to you.
Isn't that our motto? Stop losing money
every year.
Yeah.
SLM. Stop losing money.
That's all the T-shirts.
That is our theme that we have on the show. I would like. I just always think it would be the live show format. The format of getting a room.
Oh, that is
with
so
a stage,
much fun. Yes.
Yeah.
And selling tickets. I know that that's problematic from a financial standpoint.
Well, that's
so. What I had said was kind of a variant on it, you know, if it was something that we could do where we all hopped on an airplane and just flew into a town and hung out with people, that might be a little different.
That's a different take on it.
I never got that.
Yeah.
Here's the world's biggest
dinner party.
Yeah, I thought we were always doing a stage show.
Well, I we can do a stage show, the live shows, but I mean, to be honest, I always like to think of different type of activities that we can do. And so when I said we all like to eat.
We do.
Well, you don't like to eat as much as we do. But
oh, I definitely
Well, Mike,
don't.
If we can have a thin filet and some broccoli, he'll be happy as a clam.
That would be perfect.
We're
of course.
Also, it's tough for me, Mike, because.
I think when he gets exasperated.
You forget.
He's not exasperated as much as he is going over what he considers well-traveled ground.
Yes. Very good. Lay it on me, pal.
Let's jump in the DeLorean and go back to the future.
Of course.
Where you almost didn't make the live show in Reno because you were on your deathbed.
Yes.
But right? He did make it.
Yes.
The stone rolled aside, and on the third day, he showed up.
That was in November, correct?
Yes. What fun it was for the guys here in D.C. trying to figure out how we were going to pull that off without you. Let me tell you. So that's one.
I can only imagine.
There was tension.
I can only imagine that was difficult.
Yes.
I own that completely.
So once we were done.
I started practicing impressions.
And and we finally got our receipts.
Yeah.
There was tension. Because clearly the cost, the time, the audience, God bless the audience, they're effing great, right?
Right.
The people are awesome. But what it takes for us to get all the way out there, and quite frankly, what it's going to take for us to get to New Orleans,
right,
is pretty expensive. Right. And when we're all said and done, I love seeing everybody. I think it's fun.
Okay,
great.
So let me throw this at you.
Yes.
Okay? Because I don't care about keeping things from our listening audience.
No,
we don't.
And what I envision is we have a very passionate listenership, and we have. Is that Mr. Shales, Rob, that you're
no, just
you're
making
checking
sure.
your phone? That's,
just making
that's
sure.
Very
time
disconcerting. When you do that, it really throws me for a loop.
Forgive me. I did not mean to throw you off.
So we're okay with Mr. Shales?
Everything is fine.
Wait
yes.
just a
yeah,
second.
We're talking about a meal.
Yes.
We have some business to take
care of.
Here's my thought. We have a passionate listenership.
Yes.
Within that passionate listenership, we have people with a little more passion.
That's right. The creme de la creme of our
the
listeners.
The creme de la creme. And I am thinking that, you know, we cater to them for the next little thing. We have a smaller group that might want to see us and hang out with us
almost
at
like
an exclusive get-together.
A VIP experience.
Where
you
do
see
you want to have
a lot of concerts
New,
and things like
VIP
that.
VIP New Orleans experience. Now, if it happens that more people than we would have expected want to participate, well, then we might have a problem on our hands, but we will try to handle it. I'm thinking a giant room at a hotel, like a ballroom.
Ballroom,
room,
yeah.
Or a you know a little dining room yeah. whatever a
VFW.
Big dining room where we just have a big meal and we don't have microphones, we don't have PA systems, we get up and it's small enough where we can talk without a PA system.
What about your 1600 calories a day?
This is down the road.
Oh, okay,
I don't
know. Okay.
I mean, I
that was
we
sort of
set
a,
the menu. The menu is the last thing I want.
That was
think
sort
about.
Of a weak pitch, Nolan Ryan, right there. That's really not going to derail it.
So I'm just thinking.
So you
want to
do
that.
This? You want to have a big? You want to have a big meal with our listeners?
A dinner party.
A dinner party. Because you know what?
Party. As someone a dinner who party belongs, in New Orleans.
As someone who belongs to a supper club, the dinner party right. isn't really about the dinner.
I've never mm-hmm. paid for a wedding, but how much is like how much what does it go for a head usually?
And they call it by plate.
Thank you. I don't
Well, the thing is that all those costs yes. that you're talking about, it's not like we're throwing a party. They're going to pay for it. It's going to be defrayed. The costs are going to be defrayed. And they also defray the cost
okay.
of our air travel.
I'll look into it, Mike. How about that?
Yeah,
I'll look into
you know,
it. No
well,
problem.
You've been talking to New Orleans, and I think
yeah,
you
know, I've been
you know,
talking
waiting.
To theaters, not ballrooms.
Yeah, but you know what? The theater people know yes. the ballroom people.
Mm-hmm. Oscar, I think you're talking about all the moving parts. I'd like to do an elaborate meet and greet, a little one-on-one thing. Now, they're going to all say, oh, you
got
to do
no,
a live
I got
show.
It, Mike.
You gotta do
I got
a live
it.
Show.
Because
yes,
it's
what?
The dinner party, M-E-A-T, meet and greet. Because
there
we're going to have a
meat,
nice
M-E-A-T.
Oh,
yeah.
my God.
I like a
rules.
Little filet.
With a big picture of a steak.
Exactly.
And of course, we will perform.
Yes.
We're just not going to perform
after
the
a
way
heavy
we
meal.
Have to, we're not going to. We're going to get. But, you know,
what
after
is,
a heavy meal, we'll venture out into the New Orleans night.
People
and have
are
fun.
Accustomed to seeing us saw a lady in half. This will be an event where we do sleight of hand. It'll be
yeah.
more intimate.
Intimate magic. That's exactly.
That's right. He's, at the meet.
I can't wait.
And
tell
greet.
Tell me a little of it doesn't intrigue you. Just a little.
Oh, it's great.
Just, it's an intimate setting.
Yeah,
it's more
it is.
Just a couple hundred listeners
dollars,
dressed in business
the
casual.
The dollars are what scare me. Bottom line. And I can
well,
never
the,
get that chip out of my brain.
We
That's
will
all it
never.
Is.
We will not do it
yes.
without saying, if you want to come to the dinner party,
yeah.
this is what it's
so
going
to
cost.
So I'll find a caterer and a ballroom and then ballpark how many people we need to confirm RSVP in
right.
order to do it.
In order to
it will
it
be set up
without,
just like a wedding reception. They'll be
without,
able to send you. They'll send you a proposal inside of 10 minutes.
I can't wait.
They'll do it.
And of course, the price point has to not screw our listeners. You see, it doesn't. We don't
and
want to do that,
Mike. It mustn't
but
screw
I would
us
like
either.
No. I want to get on that plane where the only money that I've lost is the money that was in a slot machine at Harrah's Casino.
Exactly.
That's all in New Orleans, Louisiana.
That's totally
so.
Cool. Done and
we'll
done.
So something
meet
we can look
greet.
Forward to in spring of 2016.
Yes, fall.
Early fall.
Fall. Spring of 2016, I'm taking 17 credits. Good luck.
Oh, that's ready. Oh. So, you'll have your degree at that point.
I'll
right?
have my degree in fall of 2016, yes.
Hey, you know
in
what?
In fall of 2016. Yes. Well, when do you think, do you have a date on that yet? Do you know when you're going to complete it?
I graduate in July
Mike,
of next year.
Meet and greet so, and also graduation celebration.
No. Oscar's graduation meet and greet dinner party.
Yeah, you see, now you've solved it.
We're done.
Perfect.
Our work is done.
It writes itself.
That's right. Hey, baby, won't you lose my
And I like the idea. I like it.
And just to keep it special, no Big O and Duke's appearances until then.
Celebrity chef? Oh, too late. We have two booked.
There you go.
Do you want
There's
to
the hypocrisy I live. Ladies and gentlemen, I live with that every day. Yeah. I live with that
Mike,
every day.
And those
day.
Two
we
appearances
can't do it, but I'll do it,
are this weekend. So
Chad
I hope you can make
fat checks.
I have
That's
class this weekend.
Can't
do it.
Okay.
All right. We will take a break. When we come back, it is the one and only. You have something you wanted to share? Did you want to say
No,
share
I just want to know if I should call him.
Yeah, Kyle, okay. Dial him up.
We will talk to Mr. Tom Shales about David Letterman when we come back on the Mike O'Meara Show.
Tony and Gary.
Hi, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Perkins.
I am not Rob Ford.
You are not, but you're I'm Gary Stein.
I have always been.
And on this week's episode of the Tony Perkins Show starring Gary Stein, it's Donnie Simpson.
Oh, wow. What, did you blackmail him? How
My
do we get
dear,
him?
For, why you got to bring up a blackmail? Yes, he's a blackmail. Come on.
I didn't know we needed more than one, but he's awfully funny.
Yes, he is. It's on this week's episode. Tell your friends and subscribe to the Tony Perkins Show on iTunes.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, everybody. It's the Jimmy's Old Town Tavern 18th Anniversary and Memorial Day Weekend Bash. Sunday, May 24th, meet up for Rolling Thunder at 8 a.m. The bikes roll out at 9 a.m. It's a great day of motorcycle riding and a great day for anybody to show up for a fantastic party in Jimmy's Alley. The fun starts at noon. Crawfish, crabs, lobster, ribs, chicken, burgers, dogs, and more. There is no cover charge. They'll have live music indoors and outside and DJ music till midnight. Merchandise sales will benefit Operation Homefront and Recycle Life. It's the party that kicks off your summer. We're all going to be there. I'm going to be riding the motorcycles with Jimmy in the morning, and the boys will be coming by in the afternoon for the alley party, and it's a chance to spend some quality time with Uncle Dave.
Yay, Uncle Dave.
Nice.
Jimmy's Old Town Tavern, 697 Spring Street in Herndon. Visit facebook.com/Jimmy's Tavern for all the details, or call Jimmy at 703-435-JIMS. Always one of my favorite numbers. He'd love to talk with you. See you there. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, for years and years and years, are we getting Mr. Shales on the line? Very good. Tom Shales, a great TV critic for
the best,
Washington
really.
Post, a Pulitzer Prize winner for criticism in 1988, and a guy that really we've always enjoyed talking to. He is a lot of fun, and really, I think our favorite part of that. Tom Shales, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
This is Mike O'Meara, and you are on the show, and we are introducing you as we speak, because that's how we do it on the podcast now. We actually dial you up as we're talking to you. Before we talk to Tom, I want to share this amazing piece, just out of a lengthy piece. Tom Shales, on the old Don and Mike show, we used to wait for your review of the Kathy Lee Gifford Christmas special. It was it brought me, I don't know, I have no idea where the joy came from. Maybe we were kindred spirits when it came to looking at Kathy Lee, but I want to I really just want to read a little blurb of the joy, the joyful review that we would read around Christmas time. Yeah, this is written by Tom Shales. I'm not sure the year. What's the difference between the 24-hour flu and a Kathy Lee Gifford Christmas special? 23 hours.
Nice.
You wouldn't want to catch her in either one if you could help it, but when CBS refused to make this year's edition of the agonizing event available in advance to TV critics, one such critic, instead of being grateful for the unintentional kindness, was tempted to tune in anyway to see how or if things have improved. He should have known better. Big mistake. That's just a little piece of it. Tom Shales, welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. It's great to hear you. First of all, for people that were fans of you and readers of you, what are you doing now since you left the Washington Post? How is life? Give us an update for people that might want to know a little bit about Tom Shales right now.
I've been kicked down the stairs several times, and then I climb back up again. I don't know. I just hang out. I'm sort of retired, but I try to do stuff, too. I write for the Daily Beast sometimes. You know what that is?
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Sure we do. Yeah. And by the way, if you want to, one of the things that, besides just being a writer for a TV critic for the Washington Post, a Pulitzer Prize winner, by the way, Tom also co-authored Live from New York, an uncensored history of Saturday Night Live, and it's recently been updated and expanded for the 40th season, now available at Amazon. You can get that.
Fantastic.
And that is,
the update
the definitive
is great.
Work on Saturday Night Live. Tom, I want to talk to you about Letterman, because the... I probably drifted away from the Letterman show over the years. Rob hasn't. Rob's watched a lot of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're coming up next week on a pretty significant moment in television history. And I know you you get into that. You've been following Letterman for years. It's a special time, and we haven't had anything like this since the Carson retirement. And I think it's going to be really special. What do you think about it?
I think you're absolutely right. And I think it's the end of more than the David Letterman show. I think this whole talk show thing, late night talk shows are kind of over. There's still going to be late night programming, obviously. But Jimmy Fallon, he's great, he's talented and funny and all that. But does he really do a talk show? I don't think so.
No,
he's
think
sort
so.
Of, they play games and they play tiddlywinks and they have puppies come out and all that stuff is great. But it's not talk show. And the whole idea of talking as a form of entertainment, I guess, is kind of dying out. Is that good or bad? I don't know, but it seems to be the case. And, you know, Dave, I think Dave accomplished long ago what he wanted to accomplish, and he didn't talk about it that much. But, you know, I think he admired Johnny so much because people tuned in to see Johnny. They didn't give a crap who the guest was that night. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it was somebody really extraordinary, you know, if Moses came back or something, mm-hmm. Then we tune in for that. But mostly we tuned in to see Johnny. And don't you think we tuned in to see Dave and we didn't really give a rat's ass, as he would like to say, who the guests were? I mean, during these last few weeks, he's having, you know, everybody but the Pope on to say goodbye to him and all that. But we tuned in to see him. He's a fascinating guy. And I'm not sure that that people are going to tune in as faithfully and as fanatically to see the Jimmys or to see that fat guy who's on late now on CBS.
James Corden.
It's terrible.
That British guy.
Horrible.
Yeah, he's
absolutely
bad.
And I looked in for maybe 7 minutes and I found it really
it's not
watchable, which you know, it's strange. But you're right as far as the art of conversation and having people come out and really get their A game up. I mean, I think that you go into a Fallon show, Tom, and you probably are going to get the writers creating something for these stars now, but you don't have it was more with Letterman on the stars like the Tom Hanks and the Bruce Willis, who would have their A material that they get on their own, and
they bring it
to Dave, right? That's not going to happen.
Yeah, the best guests on Letterman did kind of do their own little show. They came on and what is it? Bruce Willis would ride out on an elephant or something.
Yeah,
and, Steve Martin always did something. You know.
Right. Yeah, Tom, did some shtick. And those are the people that are coming back.
You brought up something really interesting is that we tuned in to see Johnny, and Johnny was arguably one of the most likable characters on television.
Yeah.
That's how he painted himself. How is it that we have the same feeling about Dave when Dave seems almost purposely unlikable? And I mean, it's not so much since the heart surgery, but for 33 years he has been a curmudgeon, and he's getting older and he seems to be getting crankier at times. Why are we drawn to him?
I think he's been doing a satire of a curmudgeon. He hasn't been being a curmudgeon. He's been doing a satire of what a curmudgeon would do.
Right.
Yeah, so you have to look upon it as a performance. His life is performance art.
Yeah.
And he's living it on television. And what's the guy's going to do when he's not living it on television anymore? I don't know.
Oh, his
I think
poor
he's going to be very miserable. Yeah.
When you line up Jay Leno next to Letterman, where do you line up on the whole Leno-Letterman deal over the years? I would assume you may have been a Letterman guy.
Yeah. You know, it's a funny thing that remember Leno had that kind of troubled manager, the woman who got him. I think her name was Helen Kushnick.
Yeah,
Helen Kushnick, right.
She told me I helped get Leno the Tonight Show, and how would I have helped him do that? Well, because every time he came to Washington, and I worked for the Post, and I would interview him because he was a great interviewer. All he did was tell jokes, and he didn't mind using his material in an interview because he always had tons more material to do, you know, in the gig, whatever brought him to Washington, wherever he would appear,
right.
The cellar door, which isn't there anymore, for instance.
Right.
You know, and he would give me a few jokes to print in the paper, whatever, but he's a joke teller, and Dave is a genuinely humorous person. He's a caricature of himself. He's an original. He's a very American person. He's just a fascinating guy, and I think that there's no comparison. Leno told jokes Letterman, I don't know, was a joke. Sort of a living joke.
Yeah,
no, it's kind of a nice way. Yeah.
Would a raconteur, would that be a word? I mean, you're the word guy. I'm thinking
yeah.
he's kind of a storyteller. You know, and one thing that I gravitated to Letterman for, being in New York as Don and I were with Rob on 9/11. He replaced maybe some of these anchors that we were trusting, like the Walter Cronkites.
Right.
You'd look to a guy like Dave after a national tragedy to say, what's he going to say about it? And I remember feeling that about Letterman. Never on my best day would I feel that way about Leno. And he had a way. Julia Roberts said it this week on the show. He brought some intelligence to late night television as well. And I think that's what drew us to him. And maybe there are two reasons why I'm trying to figure out why I'm getting emotional watching these Letterman shows. Number one might be what I just said. Number two might be that I'm just closer to death. That's the one.
I'm closer sure. than you are.
That's a good race. That's right. You know, but he had that. Do you think he had that kind of? I don't want to say he's like Walter Cronkite, America's grandfather, but. Didn't Dave
trusted.
Have? He used to, we kind of trusted him. Yeah. Does that make any sense to
yeah.
you?
Yeah, I think so. I think we did and do. And who are we going to trust now? I don't think the other guys have what
no.
it takes in that sense. I mean, Jimmy Fallon is very entertaining. I used to go up to Saturday Night Live when he was still in the cast, and he would do the warm up, and he would do like 20 minutes of the most. You know, he would do everything, impressions. Tragedy, he would do Eugene O'Neill. No, he didn't do Eugene. But I mean, he did everything under the sun. By the time it was over, you were exhausted and you wanted to go home. And then it was time for the show to start. But even, I'm just kidding about that. But he really is an amazingly talented kid.
Do you
kid,
think,
what
do,
is he, 45 now? Go ahead.
45-year-old kid.
Go ahead.
Do you think
they're
one
all
of the,
kids to me.
Do you think one of the reasons that we have this emotional bond with Letterman is that he really is the last of his breed, and there is an aspect of show business that when they close the doors on the Ed Sullivan Theater, I mean, the variety show is gone, the talk show, as you said in its original inception, is gone.
Personality radio is gone.
It's gone.
Thank
so maybe
you. Letterman, I thought I'd throw that.
Maybe
Letterman
been
gone for years.
He can get a podcast.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that.
No.
I'll take that completely personally. Thank you.
But do you think that the viewers out there, they're even realizing subconsciously that this is a tide shift? This is the end of an era.
Yeah, I think that's sinking in, and people are realizing that. And maybe everybody doesn't put it in just those words, and they say, we're going to miss Dave, but they're going to miss a part of themselves. I think, you know, with Johnny and with Dave, you read something into them that's part of you. That doesn't sound like it makes sense. And most of the things I say don't make sense, but you know what I mean? He was kind of a canvas onto which you could paint various things of your own. But he was also a distinctive person in his own right. And he was very smart, very smart. And he was always learning. He had a real knack for American slang and vernacular. I mean, who said lovely before David came?
Oh,
Letterman came on there.
So well.
He said,
yeah,
that was a lovely party we had. He brought
right,
that word
right.
back and lots of others.
I know he did. He did. That's true. That's great. That's good insight.
When
you
draw the parallel between Letterman and Johnny Carson, and there's a great comparison there. I found out since his passing that Johnny was just always trying to learn. He really had an appetite for knowledge, and there is a great parallel there. I seem to remember, and it has been a long time since Johnny retired, during his last few weeks, there was a little bit of a backlash in the media that they were making too big a deal of it. And since then, I think that has all gone away, and Johnny is realized as the pillar that he is. Is Dave handling this in a different way than Johnny that's preventing that backlash?
I don't know. I guess we won't know until he actually leaves, and then we'll see how much we really do miss him. Or it's getting a little morbid, maybe at this point. I mean, every night,
yeah,
it's kind of awake every night for Dave. And I think
he looks like he doesn't want to be a guest at his own wake.
Yeah,
that's the thing. That's what's
right.
frustrating.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It seems to me that when he handles it best is when they really grab it head on, like the Nathan Lane song about Dead Inside, or when Martin Short literally did a funeral song for him. And they take, you know, if you're going to eulogize a man, do it all the way, and it almost bounces back and becomes funny again. But it is, it's odd. There's a weird energy. Dave cannot take a compliment, can he?
No, I think he's superstitious about it. I think he feels that if he starts believing his own, the praise he hears, that it'll screw him up somehow. Yeah. There was that interview in Rolling Stone where he said he was thinking about taking antidepressants, but then he was afraid that they would take the edge off of his comedy. You know, there's a certain pain and sorrow and tragedy in comedy. That's an old cliche, but it's still something sort of true. And I think he had a point there. Those antidepressants can really numb you out, boy.
We're
it's
talking,
a blissful state, but not if you're a comedian on television. Then it's not.
We're talking to Tom Shales. He's America's foremost TV critic. And before we let you go here, let's move a little forward, Tom. I'd like to ask you: is there anything you consider must watch right now? Is there anything out there that you love?
Well, the television I grew up with is kind of gone, and I keep telling people that whenever I hear that this is a golden age of television, it makes me kind of sick, because it's not. There's lots of good stuff out there, but it's all targeted to a particular demographic, and there's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But what I liked about the old television, and you can see it now on all these, like there's four channels that do nothing but show old TV,
yeah.
And you can see that those writers, they had a pretty tough because they had to please everybody. And it was kind of the same with Johnny and with Dave. I mean, these were shows designed to please everybody. Nobody can really please everybody, but they tried. And they don't have to do that anymore because the audience is fractionalized. So if you're doing some crazy thing about zombies running around the planet and taking over, you don't have to appeal to 50 million people. You only have to appeal to 5 million people. And that's not nearly as many. I mean, don't you think that there's something missing now where that old idea that television was for everybody and every, you know, you could turn on any channel and you'd find something you'd like. Now it's much more specific and it's much more targeted to individual tastes and particular tastes and not, there's nothing that's for everybody anymore. And that's what I also think that there's, no one's going to say, you know, everybody watches Jimmy Fallon. Everybody watches Jimmy Kimmel. Everybody watches, what's his name, Stephen Colbert. No, it's not going to be everybody's not going to watch any of those people. They're going to split up into factions.
Do you think Colbert is going to have a good run?
I think he'll have the same audience he has now, only a little bit bigger, but he's not going to take the country by storm. If he was going to do that, he's had, 10 years to do that already. So, I think it was a very boring choice, really.
I agree.
Yeah,
totally agree.
And another middle-aged white guy. I mean, come on. There's got to be something else out there. It's just CBS playing it safe,
yep.
and trying not to change it too much. But it's not going to work. I don't think Colbert will be even as popular as Letterman was. Not nearly as popular.
Another question before we let you go, and again, I've been loving the revision and the new edition of the Live from New York Saturday Night Live book. Mike and I, almost to a schedule on Monday, will come in and say, what the hell is going on at Saturday Night Live? And, you know, it's an institution now, but it's so bad now.
Horrible.
Why do you think it has gone that bad? And also, I'm wondering, do we remember the old episodes funnier than they were? Did they have any weakness and we just remember that as the golden age? Or has the show really taken a nosedive as it seems to have?
Great question.
I think it's regressed into appealing to a younger and younger demographic. And Lorne has sort of said that they try to catch they get their audience when kids are like in junior high school. Well, that's a little younger than we imagined the audience
wow.
Saturday Night Live, right? I mean,
yeah.
We thought we were. And I think that's why you and I don't like it as much, because we're a little too old for it.
Wow. Oh, no, he said it.
I know.
He said it, ladies and gentlemen. We're old farts. That's why we're not going to like anything
anymore.
For
the kind of comedy they're
doing. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. What aren't we too old for? I don't know. It's getting depressing.
Do you suppose that they could, is there any way that they could sort of skew a little older and still have the show be a success, or are we doomed? Do we not get to like Saturday Night Live anymore?
Well, look, they had Betty White host once, and they have Louis C.K. is the last host of the season. Well, he certainly doesn't appeal to 14-year-olds, right?
So, right,
absolutely.
I mean,
right.
I think, and you still have Update, which is basically designed for people who know what the hell is going on in the world.
And, yeah.
And a lot of 14-year-olds don't. So you don't get the jokes if you don't know. So I think they've amazingly tried to I just said nobody pleases everybody anymore, but they try as much as they can to appeal to a wide base and mostly younger viewers. But after all, Lorne is 70, so
wow.
He still puts on stuff that he thinks is funny. So I think the show is safe from going all the way to becoming just a kids show. It's well, not that.
Well, Tom Shales, it's been a pleasure talking to you about Letterman and the Washington Post, a massive loss when you left that paper after 38 years. You did a great job. It was always such a pleasure to read you. And I will tell you that your pans were about as beautiful as anybody's pans ever. Anybody ever get really pissed at you, Tom? Anybody ever call you up and say, I'm going to kill you or anything like that?
Oh yeah, all the time. Well, not all the time, but I can't believe that. I can't believe I was so mean to Kathy Lee. But CBS held the show, and then I reviewed it anyway. That really was mean. That was just plain mean. What I discovered was you couldn't be too mean to Kathy Lee. People wanted me to be meaner still. So
amen, brother.
I owe her a lot.
One last question about Letterman before we let you go. You've been very generous with your time. I really appreciate it. Now, 22 years after Carson is off the air, 23 years after Carson has left the air, they've done such a great job of keeping his clips in the forefront on the first with the video releases, and now he's got a wonderful YouTube channel. What do you think Dave's position in show business is going to be 20 years from now?
Wow. Well, I won't be around to see it. Whatever it is, I...
Tom!
Who cares?
Great answer! Tom, I'm letting you go out on that one. That's fantastic.
Who cares?
It's beautiful. I want to remember you with that last answer. Tom Shales, you rock. Thank you so much. Keep doing what you're doing, and we loved having you on. Love to have you back. Take care, and thanks for everything. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike. It's been great. Thank you.
Appreciate Tom
bye-bye.
Shales, the TV critic for the Washington Post, and really,
wow, fantastic.
Who cares? I'll be dead. That's the best. That's the best right there. We will take a break. Come back with more fun and more thrills. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This portion of our program brought to you by Sleep Number. Remember how well you used to sleep before life got all complicated? That's right. Well, I still sleep beautifully. I sleep like a bambino thanks to my Sleep Number bed. I've told you about the Sleep Number bed for years. Right now, my Sleep Number setting is 85, and so is Carla's. She had a little tweak of her back when she was running, and she has a nice firm setting. And I said, honey, you've got an 85. I've got an 85. We can sleep on the same side of the bed. And she said, no, like mine better than yours.
Oh,
anyway, come to a Sleep Number store, the only place where you'll find the Sleep Number bed with Sleep IQ technology. Sleep IQ tracks your sleep. They use dual air technology inside the bed and tell you exactly how to have the best sleep of your life. So they took a great product and made it even better.
Wow.
There is nothing to wear. There is nothing to turn on. All you have to do is sleep. And I will tell you this, of all the possessions I have, next to my own television, this is my favorite.
Aww.
I swear to you, that's the way I feel about
it.
Remember, my Sleep Number setting 85. Carla's is too. Hurry into a Sleep Number store where you can save $500 on a Sleep Number Memorial Day Special Edition bed with Sleep IQ technology. No better sleep. Find yours today at any of the 450 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find one near you by calling 800-511-0061. And don't forget to lay a finger outside of your nose and tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you.
Hooray for Mike O'Mara and his nose.
Great to have Tom Shales on the show, but I will tell you, I felt very old after talking to him because everything he was saying was because the kids aren't doing it. And but he's right. After Letterman goes, that'll be the end of an era.
They close another door on show business. They really do.
Yeah, and then we'll have Oscar's guy, Jimmy Fallon, who'll just be doing puppet shows.
I love the fact that he described, he says Jimmy's cute and he's funny and he plays tiddlywinks, but that's not a talk show.
I thought that he nailed it on the head that, you've said it actually, Mike, that Jimmy's show is now a series of YouTube clips.
Yeah, that's how he does it.
It's
a bummer because here's the number one thing watching Letterman and going back and looking at the stunting was done by Letterman. It's been done. I love the good stunting. Jimmy Kimmel, I think, does it better than anybody, and I really like. The thing about Fallon is that Fallon doesn't want to hurt anybody. He doesn't want to offend anybody.
It's so safe.
It's
and
so saccharine and
you know what
boring.
It is? It's the television equivalent of a well-tested radio record. It is.
Right.
Just, it's been through the mill. Everyone likes it.
And I mean, I like. I know you guys are not. You'll laugh at certain things, but I'm a fan. When yeah. At night, I throw him on, right?
But,
and Kimmel.
But you see, I think Oscar is too young, and I just barely got in on it. But you'll remember, at the end of the day, America would get into bed and watch Johnny Carson. And you know, we had three channels then, and it was a shared experience.
And it was harder then to please everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. And you couldn't wait. You didn't tape it. You didn't TiVo it. You couldn't see it on the net the next day. You got up and you went to work and you said, hey, did you see Karnak last night? Did you see the old lady with the potato chips last night? It was appointment television that you shared. And again, he said it. You don't need 20 million viewers to have a successful show now. You need 1 million viewers watching zombies, and you're the biggest hit in the world because everything is so splintered.
Also, let me add this, guys, and I know we're getting into the Oscarazzi, but this is entertainment, so we're talking about it.
Right.
When he mentioned, and this is something that it's important to note, and I hope, Pony, you will cut this up, and we'll send it to somebody. We'll also put it on YouTube, just the interview alone.
It was a thrill to talk to him.
Really.
He was great.
And I kept quiet, gentlemen, not because I didn't want to engage. It's because you clearly have a passion for late night talk, right? Mm-hmm. And I wanted to hear your perspective. I want to hear what Tom's was. But when Tom said that these television shows simply go after one segment of the audience and they don't care about anybody else, that's exactly what's happening in radio.
Yep.
You think radio wants everybody, but they don't.
No.
They want a certain segment of the audience,
yep.
And they don't care about anybody else except for that one segment.
I totally agree with you. And at the same time, the greatest concern next to that, next to satisfying your niche, is to not make the blunder.
Yes.
And I bring that up for purpose of this next thing I wanted to talk about. Watching this whole Jeb Bush debacle, Jeb Bush has said that he would have invaded Iraq, and he misspoke, obviously. He's being interviewed by Megyn Kelly on Fox News, and she says, knowing what you know now, would you have invaded Iraq? And he said, yes. Look, I don't know what was going on in his brain, but the fact is, I'm watching this,
and I think
I
honestly think, I'm no champion of him.
Right.
I think he heard the question wrong.
I think he might have. But the thing,
and
then he goes into this spin, and he's not handling that particularly well.
No.
But during that whole time, I am watching this and saying, really, and it's not like anybody else hasn't asked this question before or has asked this question before.
Right.
I said to myself, why in the name of God would anybody want to put themselves through this right now? We are so, while at the same time we're programming to niches.
Yep.
We're making sure we don't make the big screw up because that'll go viral. You don't want that to happen. It's just more than ever now, I can see why really the quality people that may be out there, the smarter people, the people with more integrity, they probably are terrified of getting anywhere near this. And we get what amounts to a clown college
of course.
These people,
of course,
running for president. And I think that's a victim of it at the same time. I don't know.
What's the connection? So much, I'm sorry. What's the connection between that and I probably just missed the entire point.
What's that?
Well, you're talking about the fact that everybody programs to a niche.
Oh, so the politics are just this is who we're talking to, and we're not talking to anybody else.
The second thing. It's really not related as much as the second thing they're concerned about, like in radio and television, is
don't step in the boat.
Don't step on it.
Man.
Got it.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Oh, Mike, that's a way to put it.
That's what it is. Really.
Think
don't
about
step
this.
On it.
You have a great point. And when we had Chuck Todd on the program, he spoke to that where, and this is really, to be fair to everybody that's running these businesses, because they're businesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just business where they know if they please their base or in television or radio, their audience, or target audience or their target base, they don't have to worry about anything else because that'll put them in the position to either win the time slot or in a position to fight for the election.
And to be honest, when you were saying that, I was saying
it's also the reason we have what we have. The way it's the niche programming, this is the ultimate niche programming.
Clearly, of course.
We are not making a living if we don't have the technology to deliver this to our niche audience. Would we like to grow it? Of course we would. Yeah. But this is why we are still able to do what we do.
It's funny when he says business, because I am on the impression at this point, you alluded to this earlier, if someone is brilliant enough to be a great country-saving presidential figure that could really go in and make the difference, they're probably too smart, A, to want to do it, and they're going to want to put their effort elsewhere to benefit themselves. Because if you're so smart that you could make a difference, you probably realize you can't make a difference because you're up against Congress and you're up against so much.
And if you get a booger in your nose and somebody gets a candid shot of it, your campaign's going to be over. Yeah.
But, Mike, the truly brilliant don't have boogers.
And most of these guys, the people that are really running this country, they're running it with their dollars.
Yeah, special interests. Yeah.
That's all they're
it's
doing.
It's scary. It really is scary. You know, but I'll tell you, God bless the USA. I watched, talked about this a little bit. I watched a documentary the other night. There's a show called Vice on HBO.
Yeah.
And Vice had, do you know what one of the major problems in India is currently, ladies and gentlemen?
No.
Do you know what it is?
No.
Open defecation.
Yeah, I've read about
Whoa.
This.
They are taking dumps. And by the way, I'm having one of my Still Alice moments here. I didn't talk about this.
No. That was on your other show.
Did you really just call it a Still Alice moment? Yes.
How sensitive.
I just got done watching Still Alice. That scares the crap out of me, by the way.
I think I watched it. I don't remember.
Oh, that's not nice. That's not kind.
That's so not okay. Not
hey,
okay.
Man, a lot of people are suffering. You got to laugh sometimes.
Here.
That's not nice. That's not kind. Get it? Get what I did there? I'm sorry. I've got to stop doing this because I'm closer to it than any of you guys. So they have on HBO
Bunch
on the
jerks.
Show Vice. First of all, if you really want raw documentary stuff, check out this show Vice. It is so badass.
I was surprised. I thought it was about Joe Biden. And
no,
it's not, nothing
no,
to do
no,
with
that's
him at
Veep,
all. Veep, oh, that's right, right.
That's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. So they're over there, and I'm stunned. You think there? First of all, there's a segment of India, a very well-educated population,
right?
In a certain segment of the population, they like to take. It's a cultural thing. They like to take dumps outside.
Really?
That's
they
the problem.
Like to?
Look up open defecation right now. Look up open defecation.
Yeah. Gotta clear
in
my
India.
Browser.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, if we were back doing a radio show right now, lights would be going on.
Of
They'd
course.
Be going, no, you can't talk. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. This grossed me. I have never been more grossed out by any programming.
I just, don't hit
ever.
Images when you hit that.
No, that's
Do
more.
Do not
that
hit
wanna,
images.
You
will,
wanna search the
foul.
Web on that. Or video.
They show people going into fields. They show people sticking their bottoms over open sewers.
Isn't it just easier for them?
No, it's not. Stop that. It is not
Why would
easier.
It be easier?
Well, because there probably aren't. I haven't seen the piece yet, but there probably aren't public toilets, right?
There are not public toilets.
Ah,
and because of this. But also.
You got to go.
But the thing is, it's causing all sorts of health issues. And
oh,
we have
I would
stories.
Imagine.
And also, Mike,
news you
awkward
may not
moments.
Need.
Awkward
it's,
moments.
Hey, they're not picking that up, are they? Like they do around here in nice neighborhoods?
No, they just
also,
leave it there.
And also, depending on your health, you really can't pick it up.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, if you get the little doggy bags, you can, Rob. That's what I do
well,
every day.
Well, Mike, I don't know if I've had a particularly rich dinner.
Oh, that is so nasty.
A lot of curry.
Open defecation. This is the only show we'll have a Pulitzer Prize winning writer on, and then like 10 minutes later, we're talking about Indians.
He'll never come back again.
Street.
And Mike, it's the follow-up. It's Mike Kelly's follow-up to Open Mike. It's Mike Kelly's book, Open Defecation.
Open Defecation. Big fun, had by all. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, come back with the man that is, well, at least I've never seen him openly defecate.
The day is young.
He's Oscar Santana. He's got Oscar Rotzi next on the Mike O'Meara Show.
I'm Oscar Santana.
And I'm Todd Moore, and we're trying to bridge the gap between entertainment and
technology.
And we're doing it right now.
Yes, and we're much better than Rob Spiewak.
F you, Rob.
Listen to Tech 4-in-1. That's available on MikeOMeraShow.com or find us on iTunes. Just search
for Tech 4-in-1 Show.
More Broadcasting. For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.
You're aware that when you leaned over to talk to Oscar, that his microphone was open?
Mine was off, though. I thought he was far enough off of his.
Why can't you hit buttons?
I'm too stupid.
He doesn't. But you, I mean, you paused a little bit to think of something funny to say, but what? Did you know that when you leaned over? Because you guys usually have asides during the commercial where
yes.
you talk about the little
I thought I had him muted. I might have muted another just... mic. Who knows? Who knows, Mike?
It's like the thing, everything comes full circle today. Welcome back to the Mike
O'Meara
Show.
Great circle, too. You ever have a day where you feel
know?
Like, oh, no, okay, I won't say it, but a previous topic.
Yeah, but just remember, there's one we already have in the can that you get the big win on, so you end
yeah,
up the week
win.
Really, really strong.
You know what? In long, the long run, I'll still lose.
Thank you. Welcome back, everybody. Did you know that a cyber attack typically costs a business $3.5 million? We are telling all the people right now that may have something to do with IT security at their business. You've got to listen to me about this. The problem can be stopped before it happens with SiteLock. SiteLock is the global leader in website security and provides protection for organizations of all sizes. They have a comprehensive approach. Their website security is fast, and that's what sets them apart from the competition, along with 24/7 U.S.-based phone support, so they can help you out whenever you get that problem. SiteLock services keep your website fast, and more importantly, they keep it safe. Their Find, Fix, and Prevent solution makes SiteLock the only provider you'll ever need for website security. SiteLock also keeps your company's website from being blacklisted, and that keeps your search engine rankings up. Don't be the next company that's in the news for being hacked. Call or visit SiteLock.com today. Currently protecting over 5 million websites. Shouldn't they protect yours? Don't prevent your business from doing business. To get your first month of SiteLock free, just go to SiteLock.com, click on the banner in the top right-hand corner and enter TMOS. That's SiteLock.com. Click the banner and enter TMOS, or you can call them right now at 844-598-0600 and start using SiteLock today. Without further ado, let's bring him in here. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the end of the week and it's time for Oscar Razzi.
Hi, fellas.
Hi there.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Who do you think they're programmed to?
I would think women.
Mike O'Meara in South Florida.
I think, Mike, you might be a bonus hangers-on. I would think women 25-54.
They are.
And gay men.
The gays? Is that what you're talking about? Is it Kim Richards? She's the mess,
yes.
right?
She's yeah. Kim Richards is a totally hot mess, a trouble with substance abuse.
And you know what? Star of Return to Witch Mountain 40
yes.
years ago.
Yes, 40 years ago, and she's like... Yeah, she's a mess.
Charged in drunken rampage.
Oh, ooh. That's the worst kind of rampage to be charged with.
Now, a few weeks ago, Kim Richards was hauled out of a bathroom. She kicked a cop and all that, so they've charged her. So this is the real deal. She's in big trouble.
What's the usual bit when a celebrity does something wrong? What do they do the day, probably hours after they get bailed out?
They issue an apology?
Rehab.
They go into rehab.
Right, okay.
Points for Boney.
Right.
Is she going into rehab?
She went into rehab, but that didn't stop the LA DA as they weren't swayed by her rehab check-in, where she's being charged, where the first worst-case scenario, she could be sentenced to 2.5 years in jail for assaulting an officer.
Wow.
I'm sorry I laughed.
Why are you laughing? You're a monster.
I'm laughing because, no, I am not a monster. What I am is a turbo fan of the show, and I'm not on Team Kim. So that's the whole point.
Any
I'm
chance that when she lands in Stir, Mike, it's on TV. Can they swing it to be a reality show for her?
Well, let me tell you, Andy Cohen over at Bravo is saying right now, if I can squeeze any more out of this, I don't know if this will mean she's off the show. In the Andy Cohen world, this means she gets a hefty raise.
That's right.
The way that works.
Yeah.
So who knows? Because all this has happened when they're not taping Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. But this is why that particular show is the best of all their, their Real Housewives show.
They should film her always. Because
yes.
if they filmed her always, she probably would stay out of trouble.
Absolutely.
Who else is the train wreck on that show, though?
Well, they've got multiple train wrecks
well,
on
no,
that
but,
show.
But
Brandi
Glanville
is the other train wreck. She's the other one that has an alcohol problem.
Okay, so she gets drunk. I haven't seen this past
couple
seasons.
And then Lisa Rinna has really got it going on. She's connected, she knows what she's doing.
She's plugged in. And then they brought the Eileen Davidson. Is that the soap opera actress?
Yes, I think that is the name.
They brought her in. But they're all just these fabulously wealthy bitches that run around and entertain the masses. And I root for all of them, Oscar.
Yes.
Each and every one.
And
of them.
I also root for Drunken Rampage.
I know. Well, that's what you want to see.
That is.
On,
it really
on
is.
R-H-O-B.
Oh, God. R-O-A-B-H.
I'm sorry. R-H-O-B-H. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
We got to get your T-shirt.
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
gentlemen, did you guys ever own Yorkshire Terriers?
No. I've had the pudding.
I was going to say, I enjoy them fried, deep fried.
Jimmy will be serving them.
Are they Yorkshire Terriers?
Yorkshire.
Yorkshire, that's what I said,
that's
right?
That's fine.
Okay, apparently
Make sure you come to my party in the alley. I'm going to have Yorkshire Terrier. Yes, sirree. It's our Memorial Day blast with ribs, chicken, burgers, and Yorkshire Terrier.
What I do is I take a young Yorkshire Terrier, shave it, and serve it with gravy and poutine. Cheese curd on your dog.
Yum, yum.
Okay, so this is the story. Are you a Pirates of the Caribbean fan?
Of course,
okay.
Everybody is.
The fifth installment is...
Nope, you got one person over here that's a negative on that.
Oh,
one.
It's sad.
Johnny Dope.
The fifth installment.
Whoa. Ooh, in his face. You owned him.
How dare you? Showed him. Apparently, he brought his two terriers to Australia for the filming of the fifth installment of, of Pirates of the Caribbean. Yorkshire Terriers carried, some of them are known to carry disease.
Oh.
So they have to be quarantined for 10 days.
All of Jimmy's are disease-free, Mike.
Because they can kill sheep. And sheep are clearly one of the biggest exports. What do they call it?
Is commodity? That an export?
It's a commodity in Australia. He flew in on his private jet, landed, didn't quarantine them. People found out that he had the two dogs and didn't go through the right process. Now they want to kick him out of the country because it's illegal to have these animals there without actually being quarantined.
Killer That's dogs. God paying him back for making a fifth one of those pirate movies.
And you know what? When I said everybody's a fan, I assumed there were two of them. There's five now?
There's
too
the
many.
One.
That's
the
too many
fifth
pirates.
One.
Mm-mm.
Too many.
Yeah.
Guys, this is for you adults out there. Maybe not search for this at work, but you can do it at home, Mr. Mike O'Mara. Have you heard of Courtney Stodden before?
Yeah, she's got big boobs and blonde hair, and she married an older guy.
Yeah,
right?
A much older guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Cradle Robber, the guy that was, and also from The Green Mile, the guy that played, I forgot what his name was.
He was the wacky neighbor.
He was the bad guard, the bad prisoner. Percy.
Ah,
he played
look
Percy.
At you.
Well done.
Mentioned on the show, and I remember. Vivid Entertainment says that they have an adult film, Courtney Uncovered, the Courtney Stodden sex tape, that they'll be releasing soon.
Mm.
And she's almost Barbie-like, right? With her
weird
dimensions.
Yes, she looks like a Barbie. She's of age now, because I think they married when she was 17, if I'm not mistaken.
But it depends. She was of age in certain areas. I mean, age of consent to be married. It was a legal marriage.
This film is being touted as she's over 18, so...
Then forget it.
Well, I will tell you. That's disgusting.
That's not okay.
You have a daughter.
How dare you?
Simply a joke.
You big jerk.
I'm glad Mr. Shales didn't hear such a horrible thing.
There are some people, though, when I see that they have a sex tape out, that I'm like, why did it take so long, right?
Yeah, like that should have been on the table years ago.
And it's also a sign of desperation in my eyes if you have to wait that long when you're that type of person for that to come out. Yeah. Because you think that finally I'm going to do this, and this is how I'll break out.
It's like someone holding onto their free spin too long in Wheel of Fortune, and then all of a sudden the game's over, and you don't have it.
There you go.
Say, Jack.
Mariah Carey, and now this is the last one.
Okay.
As you know, her tour is in Las Vegas as we speak.
She has a residency, right?
She has a residency, but also she's going around the country, right, for the summer. But it has a rocky start, apparently, because she just canceled this past Wednesday night's Vegas show. Apparently, the singer has bronchitis, and her doctors advised her not to use her voice. It's strange, because they just launched the show, right? The tour just launched.
Yes.
How do you get bronchitis?
All I want for Christmas is you!
Mike, she actually went to two doctors. And one of them said, that looks like a chest cold. The other one says, looks like an epidemic.
We've talked about Britney Spears on the show before. Is Mariah Carey someone you would want to pay to see?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think I'd go to a Mariah show.
Mm-mm. Even if you were in Vegas?
I'd go to Shania.
Okay.
I'd go to Shania Twain, but I don't think I'd go to Mariah. No.
You would go to a Britney Spears show?
Yes.
I'd go to a Britney Spears show in a heartbeat.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Go Britney. Mariah, I don't find her attractive. That's the main thing. And, they have to have the little sex appeal for me to plunk down my $50.
And also,
bucks to go
she has proven on television lately her voice is gone. Her voice always is
had my criteria for Vegas entertainers always had to have that beautiful
the
sex
appeal.
That's why I went to those Milton Berle shows.
Oh God!
What about the 10 o'clock show?
Is that yeah. George Wallace? Yeah, the best 10 o'clock.
Best
show,
10 o'clock yeah. show on the strip.
Sexy, yes. That's Oscar Rotzi, everybody. Thank you. Thank you, Oscar. We will come back with our very last audio vault of the week with Rob Spiewak. You're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Desmond has a barrel in the marketplace.
This week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
I'm sorry to keep you waiting. This is Mr. Spiewak.
All right. My name's CJ. I'm calling on behalf of Verizon. The reason why I'm calling is to see if you was interested in adding television and internet services to your phone line. And how many TVs do you have?
Let me see. Downstairs, upstairs, the bedroom, the other bedroom, the living room, the master bedroom, the sitting room. I have one TV.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show, because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Oh, my God. That is a great bonus show. You got to get the bonus
Do
show,
it,
people.
Folks. Come on.
Listen up, small business owners. You're going to want to hear this one. This portion of our program brought to you by Vistaprint. Right now, this is a great deal. 500 business cards. $9.99.
Wow.
When you enter promo code TMOS at checkout, that is $9.99 for 500 business cards.
Wow.
This is the best deal out there, and it's so easy to make great-looking cards. You can pick from tons of industry-specific designs, add your info, and you are done. You are done. Or you can upload your own artwork or pictures, and we've done that. We've all made cards of Vistaprint. They always turn out wonderful and classy. Mine's getting a little, dog-eared here because I've been rubbing on it so much because I do it during the show. But there it is for you. Look at that. Isn't that
beautiful?
Pretty?
Love it.
That's my business card. You want to go all out, you can upgrade to their signature stock and a fancy finish. Vistaprint also has everything for marketing, and they guarantee all of their stuff. 500 business cards on sale, $9.99. There has never been a better time to professionally promote your business. All you have to do, it's really easy. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code TMOS to get this offer. That is Vistaprint.com and enter the code TMOS for 500 business cards for just $9.99. And we thank them and we thank you. Now, without further ado, let's open up the audio vault with Mr. Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob. I've got your audio vault right here. Bingo, bango. Oh, I didn't hit that right there. Sorry about that. End of the week. Always messing up with the buttons. Let's hit it again, boys. Thank you. Thank you very
much.
Charles.
Hey, Mike. Yo-ho.
Yo-ho!
Timbertina.
Oh, and you know what? I didn't even get a chance to mention to you that when she had that television piece air, she looks every bit as lovely she did when we saw her.
Isn't that great? Is fantastic. Yeah. Is she still banging all the young boys that are on her show?
Yes, she is.
Very good. And
Mike, until the sawdust comes out. It's just absolutely. go. Let's move on. McDonald's has been in the news lately. Not all good stuff. And they've had the first real ad with the new sexy Hamburglar.
And yeah, I've seen the tease for that. You don't see him, right, in the first ad?
In the first ad, he's at McDonald's, and he's talking on his phone to his Hamburglar wife, Mrs. Hamburglar. And Mike, he's got a cut jaw, and he's got stubble and skinny jeans. And frankly, the old Hamburglar really should be scary because he is, you know, just an odd-looking little guy with one tooth right now. Mm-hmm. This guy makes me much more uneasy because this is how the Hamburglar talks now.
Rubble, rubble, America.
First of all, I don't like the way he says rubble,
Mike,
rubble.
Mike, this guy looks like he's stealing your credit card information.
Yeah, he really does. He really does. All right, let's go back to
your hamburgers.
Rubble, rubble, America. I am back. And
his phone rings.
Hi, honey. This is why I'm back right here. 100% real. No. I got the candles as well as the cake. No, we'll talk soon. Like 15 minutes, maybe 15. I am actually at the party store right now.
He's henpecked.
He's lying to his wife, though, because he's actually stealing hamburgers.
Exactly, Mike. 1/3-pound yeah. sirloin burgers.
What happened to men just being men?
Exactly. And also, you know what?
Right? Now we have to have a woman running us.
It's amazing the causes you attach yourself
what
to.
What the
you
hell?
Anyway, God, McDonald's bad with the Hamburglar. Also right. bad with a YouTube video that I found this morning entitled Mick Freakout, in which a lady comes through the drive-in window and she really wants chicken McNuggets, but it's 10:30 in the morning, and they don't serve them.
Not yet.
She might have had some sort of substance that might be legal, might
not be legal.
A lot of
people wig out at the Mickey D's drive-thru, and people want their food the way they want it, when they want it.
If they don't have the soft serve, they're going to ask for your number.
What you're going to say?
Jimmy never showed you that video, did he?
Never did. Anyway. Never did. But he'll be showing it on the big screen at the Memorial Day weekend bash.
I told him to delete it. Mike O'Mara being an a-hole to the McDonald's person.
I don't know how to delete video. I just know how to take it. I filled up another phone.
This is why this is the worst McDonald's in the history of the McDonald's franchise. Yeah, screw you. I got to go
right.
sleep.
Here's the McFreakout. Before it's over, she will come out of her car, reach into the drive-in window, and break the drive-in window, and then peel out. But check out the actual emotion. She actually hisses like a cat because she wants chicken McNuggets.
Holy shit! Unless you're speaking McNuggets in my hand, I don't want to hear it!
It's 10:30 a.m. We don't serve chicken McNuggets at this time.
Yes, you do!
No, we don't.
Why not?
Because we don't.
You know what? Did you just come here? Oh, just f***ing hiss at you.
Yeah, get your scummy ass out of the car! What's going on over there?
Don't you run away from me, you bad move, man.
Holy
no. Don't make me assume my ultimate form. I will yes. fuck you up. Wait, I'm going to come in and I'm going to wreck you.
I'm going to tell you to screw you. Look at the mess.
Ma'am. Whoa.
Who I am?
Ma'am.
What?
Get this bitch off. Holy shit.
He's got the window shut now.
Yeah,
right?
She's about to break it.
No. Alright, we need to call the police. This is out of control. Holy
shit. She pulls away after she broke
and
the glass. And
the thing
that's
so funny,
right,
the
there.
Audio doesn't show this, but after she squeals out, the other car just pulls up. do you have my McGriddle? Wow. It's amazing and it's
incredible.
Horrifying. Speaking of hissing
can
like
we put
a
that
cat,
on our Facebook page?
Absolutely. Speaking of Mike, speaking of the woman hissing like a cat, congratulations to Tracy Westwood of Devon, England, whose cat Merlin has gotten the Guinness Book of World Records for being the loudest purring cat in the world. The cat purrs at 67.8 decibels, which is right between the volume of an air conditioner and a dishwasher.
Oh, no.
This cat must die.
All right, stop it and start it again after
okay.
I do this.
Okay? Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's 2:30 in the morning. We take you now to Matt Bloom's apartment.
Yeah.
We don't know if that's Matt or one of his many animals.
I always feel like Matt Bloom's apartment looks like the lab in The Fly.
Yeah, Brundlefly. Brundle pony.
Not too far off. Computers, wires.
Mike, while we're talking animals, I'm scared of parrots. I don't like parrots. They live too long and they're too smart. But I really hate a parrot that laughs like this.
Terrifying.
And... and also, Mike, there's a guy that walks into a barn full of goats, and when he says bah, they talk back to him. They call him...
You're wrapping the week up with a goat. He knows the way to my heart, doesn't he?
They call him the goat whisperer. And now, Mike, in closing, I would like to...
I think
to,
I hurt my back, I swear to God. Oh
in closing,
God,
I'd like
funny.
To offer this. What happened if the goat whisperer were to take his parrot to England? What would it sound like? It might sound like this.
That's how the cat purring, the goats, and the parrot at the same
parrot.
Time.
Yeah. And Mike, it's a That's great a time was had by all. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great weekend, Matt Bloom.
Buddy, get us out of here. That's fun, everybody. It's a fun show. Weird show.
It was.
All over the map show, but a fun show. Another show is come and gone. Be sure and join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeOmeraShow.com, everybody. If you want to correspond, TMOS, Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177 to get your message or birthday request. Can I hear the goats again, please?
One more time. Okay, yeah. Here we go. You love your goats. Oh.
If you want to get the birthdays on, it's Rob with two B's at MikeOmeraShow.com and tell the world about TMOS. That's the only way we can get some goddamn listeners to
hear,
the show.
Here.
Thank you very much. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Wait, don't go. I need to tell you that MikeOmeraShow.com/Amazon is perfect for all your online shopping needs. Shop the best way. Shop Amazon. And please go through our website, always open at MikeOmeraShow.com/Amazon.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.